God is good. Amen. I want to speak briefly. This is a packed morning. It's still only 10 to 12 hours. That clock stopped. It's not stopped, is it? I think the Lord is holding time still for me. It's what? 10 to 12. Who won that football game yesterday, son? Oh, Chelsea, was it? Sorry. We're Chelsea fans. Any other Chelsea fans in the house so you can come into the... Oh, Sam, sorry, Sam as well. Lord, forgive the rest of them. I'm wrecked up here. Amen. Amen. So, I preached this message before, actually. But I've changed some scriptures around. I preached it last week in Bray. But I've been listening to a man called David Wagner. If you want to note that name down, go on podcast and listen to him. He's a crazy cat. He's a prophet. And I've laughed so much listening to him. He's brought refreshing to my soul. And I've told Sharon every time I've listened to him, I'm going to meet this man. He's from America. I don't know how I'm ever going to meet him, but I'm going to meet this man. He's going to speak here. I feel it with all my heart. And I was listening to him going out to Greystones to the night, to the Carrigeden Foundation meeting. You know that we set up a foundation to try save Carrigeden from being sold and to developers. Our foundation, we set it up because if God wants to provide it to keep Carrigeden. If you don't know what it is, you can ask later. For Christian purposes. And then the Lord didn't give us the money. We held the door open for a year because we got first privilege with the Assemblies of God. And then to buy a Tig Lynn Teen Challenge had come in for it. And then they made an offer and it seems it wasn't enough. So now it's going to developers as far as I believe. And we closed down there. We haven't closed it down yet because it's not sold yet. So we're like, maybe the Lord wants to wait to the last minute. So we're believing so that Carrigeden can remain a place where families can live, where people in recovery can finish their recovery, and a place where people from Phase 14 Challenge can come and have a respite before they move back into life. And so that's what we wanted it for, and it just hasn't happened. So anyway, just that's just information because I told you about this at the beginning. People that get from this church, thank you very much for giving into the Carrigeden Foundation. And so I was out there last week and I was driving out and I was listening to David Wagner and he says these words, right? He says that God is not interested in full stops, but he is interested in commas. And I'm pointing now at me radio in my car where I was listening to him. I'm like, David, I preached that message. I kid you not, I preached that message. And I'm like, David, I preached that message. I know I'm going to meet this fella. How could two people, other sides of the world, preach the same message? Commas and full stops. Or as he said, for our American friends, periods. And this was like this was during last week coming up to Easter. And so I like went home and I got onto my iPad and I was looking for this sermon. And I realized I had a new iPad. So I went onto my older iPad and it wasn't on that. It was on the oldest one that I had. Joan, the one that I gave my sister that I wiped everything off. And I was like, I'll never remember that, Lord. You're going to have to refresh my memory. Praise God for podcasts. Podcast. I went on the podcast and I'm like, there's little Noli preaching his little heart out. And I'm writing notes down now to take care. And then I preached the last week in Bray. But I've changed some of it because of the different week that is in it. But I believe God wants us to know that he doesn't put... There's places where he does put full stops. For instance, and he overcame sin, death, and the grave. Full stop. Grave ain't making a comeback. Jesus said it. Ain't no ground gonna keep me down. Come on. Ain't no ground gonna... You don't know it? You know it. When I get there, I'm going to meet Jesus in the air. Ain't no ground going to keep me down. And he doesn't want full stops, but he has full stops in certain places, like that, for instance. But what is a full stop? I remember when I was doing my master's degree. I remember when I was attempting to do my master's degree, is probably the right it's a master's degree that is like, it goes on into eternity. But when I left school when I was 13, and I left school, I remember I was on the hot boys, Mitchell from school, truancy, whatever word you use, and I went home. I was sick of staying on the streets for 8 hours a day, freezing cold, and I'd wait up every morning for the letter to come through the door from the school so that my dad didn't get a force, and I knew the envelope, and I'd put it in my pocket, and I'd go off to school, my mom would send me to school, and I ended up just like, they ended up in school. One of my friends told me that they stopped calling your name out in the class, like the teachers just gave up, and me and Mick Finley, if anyone remembers Mick Finley, who eventually led me to Jesus, would you believe? Would you believe that? But we used to be in the field, and Farmer Joe's up there at Crumlin, and we had a little hole in the wall in a pram shed in the flats where we used to sit in. And I always loved learning. I was a great head for learning. And I used to give him his homework on home so that his ma would see him doing something. And he'd come back in the next day, and I'd correct it. And all of a sudden, I was becoming the teacher that we didn't like in school. What do you mean you haven't got them all done, Mick? Come on, we go through them maths again. Like, it was like. So then, when I became a believer when I was 22, Mick, this same fella, shared the Lord with me. And I gave my life to the Lord on the 22nd of March 1989, Tuesday at 9:40, just in case you don't know, in the National Stadium in Dublin. And some people believe that's when you were saved. I've said that often. When would I say it? Well, 22nd of March 1989, Tuesday night at 9:40 in the National Stadium in Dublin. And I was a couple of months saved, and I read about a Bible college in Limerick. I said to Sharon, imagine learning all about Jesus in the college setting. And I was just fascinated by this opportunity. And then it turned out in Carrigeaton that a Bible college was being started. So it wasn't now down Limerick. It wasn't in Carrigeaton at the time. It was in a place called Monkstown. And then they sold that house and bought Carrigeaton. So the second year was in this house called Carrigeaton. And I was working. We just got married. I was working. Had Patrice, my oldest girl, and then I knew we were going to populate the earth after that. And I was working. I've always worked hard. And I said, I'd love to go, Lord. I'd love to go. I'd love to learn. I'd love to just give myself to this. And I said it to Sharon. And we just decided, both of us, that we'd pray about it. That's the right thing to do as a husband and wife. And if there was no way, men and Sharon, I would have never gone. But we prayed and God spoke to us. He told Sharon to simply trust him. Because we were giving up a job. We were going to get no money from anywhere. So it was a big step with a little family. With no money to go to college. With no money for dinner. But we believed God was in it. And I don't look like someone that starved to death. And I went in, gave up my job, and went to college. Sat in the library on orientation day. And there was hundreds of books. And all I could think about was, I'm going to learn so much about Jesus. Look how wonderful Jesus is. There's reams and reams of books trying to capture the majesty and the beauty and the brilliance of who he is. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, 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 yeah. But the problem is, like, so when I started doing papers and all, I didn't know any grammar. I didn't know how, the only grammar I know was me ma's mam. And that'll sink in. So anyway, I ended up doing this master's degree. After that degree, 12 years later, I went and tried to do this master's degree. And so I learned a lot, but I didn't learn a lot about grammar, even though I'd done those papers, because I lost it. It wasn't in my head. And I would do papers. And you know them red lines, you know, means your mistakes are a spelling mistake. But I was very good at spelling. I didn't guess red lines on I got green lines, which is all to do with grammatical errors. And I'm like, so every time I got a green line, I'd have to get onto the internet to find out what that meant, what would give you like a split definition or whatever. And I'd have to get on every paper. I had to do this because I wasn't containing that information. So anyway, it just drove me mad. But I did learn about full stops and commas. So we're going to have a little bit of a grammar exercise. Is that all right? And it's this. What is a full stop? A full stop indicates the end of a sentence. It's used to suggest the end of a topic, meaning there's nothing more to be added to this thought or this thought pattern. So it's like end of story. It's like, that's the end of that thought pattern. There's nothing more to come. A new idea is coming after this. So a full stop is like end of story. That's a real Dublin saying, isn't it? End of story. So that's a comma now, that's not like a full stop. A comma means that there's more to come. Means that thought, there's a little break, but there's more to come that is continuous of that thought. There's more to the story. So full stop, end of story, comma, there's more of the story. It's not the end. There's more to experience. There's more to come. A comma is to give order to a sequence of the elements that contains in the sentence. That sounds very, very proper. So a comma is used before the words and or but to join the two together as independent commas, clauses. With a comma coming before the words and but, it means that there's more but it's not the end. So it's like, look, I want to tell you this, but that's not the end of the story. Or I want to tell you this, and there's more to the story. And them two words are very important. Now, in man's world, that these dots, full stops and commas are very important. But God has a different grammar or grammatical structure to who he is. So, like, for instance, if I can give you, for instance, it's like when Jesus was dying on the cross, so you can see where last week came in, when Jesus was dying on the cross, and the Bible says, and Jesus breathed his last breath. Now imagine if there was a full stop. So in your Bible, there's a full stop because it's written for people that understand how the grammatical structure of a sentence or of a paragraph. But in God's eyes, it wasn't a full stop because the comma was, there's more to come to this of the story. There's a bit more to come, meaning that full stop, comma, Jesus breathed his last breath. But that was on Friday, amen? Comma, Sunday was on its way. The resurrection. So are you with me? So imagine if it was like the prodigal son story, that this young man, there was a man that had two sons. One son took his inheritance and spent it on wild living. Full stop. End of. No more to come. Not in God's eyes. Comma. There's more to the story. Amen? Full stop is like game over, baby. Comma is there's more to come. So Jesus rises from the dead, comma. That wasn't the end of it either. He appears to them, 500 of them. He walks through walls into buildings where they were, and they receive more of Jesus. Peace be with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you, he says to them when he comes. He breathes on them. They all get an encounter with the Holy Spirit. But he says there's more before he ascended to the Father. He meets the disciples and he says, listen, this is not the end that I ascend. There's not a full stop there, no more to the story. There's a comma. Now you go and wait in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit whom my Father promised you will come, comma. Because that's not the end either. Because it goes on and on and on and on. And the Holy Spirit comes and they're all waiting. This is where Jesus told us to wait. This is where Jesus told us to wait. Is it a full stop? Are we just told to wait here? No, there's a comma. The Holy Spirit comes and it says like a violent wind came and like tongues of fire came and separated. And every single person in the room received from God tongues of fire. And they all spoke in another language and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That every flame had a name. Every one of those tongues, every flame had a name on it for every single person, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled to the brim, so much so that like they were speaking in another language and that they fell down the stairs and they came out. But that wasn't the end of it. There was a comma. Peter, who had denied Jesus, do you remember at the cross? Can you imagine Peter denying Jesus? Have you ever failed Jesus? I have. Hundreds. But he never puts a full stop behind my failure. It's a comma. Confess your sin, Noah. Get up again. Peter, I denied him. Do you know Peter didn't get a chance to tell Jesus he was sorry because he died on the cross? Imagine the days of carrying it. I'm after blown it. I've seen him raised the dead. I've seen him multiply bread and loaves and fishes. I've seen him cast devils out of people. And I blew it. He was putting a full stop over his own life. He went back to his old life, full stop. Can you imagine the self-doubt, the self-rejection, the self-hatred? How could I have done this to someone who was so kind to me? Before that, Jesus said to him, Peter, the devil is real, my friend. He's asked to sift you. He's asked to test you, Peter. Now imagine if that would have been a full stop. Freak, your head would have blown off. Peter, the devil's after you. Huh? There wasn't a full stop. Jesus says, take heart, I've prayed for you. I've prayed that you will overcome. I've prayed that you will be in the race. I've prayed that you will do something amazing in this world. And he fails, Jesus. Imagine him putting his own full stop. And it says this, that he went down fishing. Peter went fishing, comma, with the rest of the disciples, comma. They fished all night, comma. Didn't catch anything again, comma. I'm amazed. I always want to preach. These were seasoned fishermen. Everywhere that talks in the Bible where they were fishing, they never caught anything. I'm like, I don't think they were seasoned fishermen at all. Not only that, fishing all night and didn't catch anything. They were brutal fishermen. They're out fishing all night, didn't catch anything all night, comma. The morning comes, John looks up, they're in the boat, John looks up, comma, sees Jesus, who had risen from the dead on the shore, comma, making breakfast, comma. Have you guessed what was for breakfast, comma? Fish. And I know who he didn't get it off. Comma. John says, there's the master. Peter says, is it? He jumps out of the boat, comma. He's going through the water. The last time he was with Jesus on water and boats, he was walking on the water. Now he's dragging himself through. Can you imagine all the fear, all the, what if you run up to him and he goes, you rejected me, now I reject you. All the full stops trying to invade his mind as he's, I'm going to the master, comma. I'm going to get up to him, comma. I'm going to say, forgive me, comma. I'm going to move on with my life and serve him, comma. And he gets up and Jesus is cooking. How practical is Jesus? He's down to breakfast. He speaks. You know, he speaks to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Come on. Do you love me? Come on. Do you love me? Come on. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. He says this, Peter, do you love me more than these? Come on. Now, I used to think that when he said, do you love me more than these, he was pointing at the rest of the disciples. He wasn't. He couldn't have been. He was pointing at the stinking fish. Because if you look in that little paragraph, I think fish is mentioned like 9 times. They went fishing. He got fish. He cooked fish. They caught loads of fish, dragged the fish onto. And he was saying, do you love me more than this, Peter? Do you love me more than your own life? Do you love me going and just settling for what you know? Do you love me more than your comfort zone? Do you love me because I haven't put a full stop? I put a comma. And Peter's in the upper room and he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, comma. He walks out and he preaches a sermon, comma. And 3,000 people came to know Jesus on his first sermon, comma. You don't know what God is going to do with us. You don't know the beauty and the majesty he wants to release through you. But you've put a comma, or you put a full stop. You've allowed the enemy to put a full stop on your life. You allowed your background, you've allowed your failures to put a full stop. And all he's saying, even come to me. See, the blood on the cross is the great eraser of full stops over people's lives. Amen. It's the great eraser that washes no skinny sinner. Born and raised a sinner. Came from a long line of sinners. I come to Jesus and that sin and that past is washed. So a comma can be put over my life rather than a full stop. My goodness, that would have gotten an amen if I was in Bray. Just using the kids against each other now. Full stop. I tell you, if that comma would have gotten up in Clondalkin tonight, they'd be jumping up. They'd be like, with a hanky's up in Clondalkin tonight. You preach it. Hey, man, you preach it, sister. Amen. You all come tonight and jump up and do all that amen, right? And I'm like, told you they do that in our district. But there's more. There's more. Jesus rises from the dead and he makes a way for an open heaven. It's not just like you get filled with the Holy Spirit. He teaches us that the heavens are open over our lives. The last 4 weeks, if you remembered, we spoke on open gates, open hearts, open grave last week, and open heavens this week. That he has created over us. Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 64 of Isaiah. He listened to the cry of the prophet's heart that is inspired by God. It's like God praying a prayer to himself so he can answer it. It's like you can hear the cry. Listen, he's crying out, if only you would tear the heavens open and come down so that even the mountains would quake at your presence. He's crying out, Lord, and it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. If only you would tear open the heavens and come down amongst the people, even the mountains would melt. Jesus rises from the dead, and this is the open heaven that he's given us. Listen to what Hebrews 10:19 says. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus by a new and living way, he has opened for us through the curtain that is his flesh. That what he done on the cross, he is open that we can boldly, you know what he is? He's in any time, any place, anywhere, God. He says you can boldly enter in. You can come into his presence. Why? Because Jesus answered the prayer of Isaiah that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. That he came down. Remember when he was baptized, what happened? The heavens opened. The Father spoke and the Spirit came down and rested upon him. He was showing us that this is the connection that you can have with God. No more brass heavens. No more closed heavens. Because he has made a way for you and me. Listen to Mark 1. Verse 10, as soon as he came above the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Luke, same thing. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. Listen, if you want heavens consistently coming down on your life, make sure you spend time with God. As he was praying, you don't get this for nothing. He doesn't give this to the people that are cheap with their time. I'm telling you, I'm saying this from experience. I cannot just walk with God and thinking he's just going to bless me. He wants me before he wants anything else. He wants me to be able to pray in my room, in my car, when I'm walking the street, when I'm in the park, when I'm in the shopping center. That no, as he was praying, the heavens opened. As he was seeking God, the heavens opened. We don't get this willy-nilly. You will be one of the ones, or I'll be one of the ones, when we're seeing everyone being blessed, we're going, well, like, Lord, all we will become then is echoes. We'll echo someone else that is spending that time with God, that is experiencing open heaven. And all we will be is repeating other people's phrases and other people's prayers and reading other people's books, reading other people's songs and singing other people's songs. Or we can position ourselves before God and he opens the heaven and he gives us our songs, our books, our testimonies, our stories, our prayers, our worship in a different way. We have a choice. We have a choice in this church. I can't speak for any other church. But we have a choice in this church whether we're going to be an echo or whether we're going to be a voice. We have it. That Simon, we just sing everyone else's songs or we write our Irish songs. That you write your poetry. That you paint your paintings. That you sing your song. That you raise your kids your way. That you'll raise something, that you'll receive something from heaven and release it to the earth. We have a choice. We can go to Google or God. I'm sorry to say, probably Google is winning. Forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Release us, Lord. Give us a hunger, Lord. Lord, give us the gift of hunger. Let it be something from you, for you, Lord. Each one of us, Lord, you gifted, Lord, that we find this desire in us today, tomorrow, next week, next month. We find this desire. I just want to be with God. I just want to know what he has to say in the word. I just want to pour, I just want to sing my song. I just want to worship him. I just want to talk to him. It's not religious, it's relationship. I know that's a cliche. It's only a cliche with no power if you allow it to be. I want relationship. He wants relationship. He opened the way so that we could get to him. Gift us with hunger, Lord. Listen to what he said to Nathanael. John chapter 1, verse 51. Then Jesus said to him, I assure you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Listen to it again. Jesus said to Nathanael, I assure you. When Jesus says, I assure you, our other translations will say, verily, verily, or truly, truly. Jesus is like, this is a double whammy. There's no going back on this. This is what will be provided for you. I assure you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So let's get this a bit break down for a moment. Angels coming and going. Angelic hosts visiting your home, your life. That when we pray, that we're releasing what the Bible calls the ministering spirits, the angels of God, to do the bidding of God. That we release when we pray. This is like he said, I assure you, you will experience angels coming and going. That when we pray, it's not just us praying, but we're releasing angels to do the bidding of God, to do warfare over our families. I mean, that's enough, isn't it? Angels coming and going. Heaven, look, he says, you will see heaven open. John the Revelator, revelations about John seeing heaven open. He sees the worship, he sees the majesty, all the things of God going on in heaven. He says, you will see heaven's open. Like, imagine just experiencing the worship that goes on in heaven. Imagine having revelation of Jesus on his horse coming back to get his bride. Imagine seeing the crystal lake. Imagine seeing the emeralds around the throne. Imagine seeing the rainbow around God's throne. He says, you will see an open heaven. Angels coming and going. How? He says, you will see this angels, heaven opening and God and angels of God ascend and descend on the Son of Man. He is the central point of all of this happening. That if you're with him, he says, you will see this open. If you're with him, you will experience this. Angels are not to be worshipped. Angels are, doesn't matter what angel cards say. It doesn't matter. They're demonic. It's what he says. And he says, yeah, you can experience angels because this is what the enemy does. He gets what's beautiful and right in God's eyes and he twists it and he mars it so that there's no attention given to the King of Kings. So he can get people, it's not new, by the way, it's in the Bible. He told the people in the church in New Testament. Paul says, don't fall into angel stuff. They're not there to be worshipped, they're servants of God. But he says, if you want to experience this, cling on to Jesus. Get a hold of who he is and you will experience this and a heaven open. Matthew Henry says this, through Christ we commune with and benefit by the holy angels. And things in heaven and things on earth are reconciled and united together. He says, through Jesus. Nathanael, you want to see this happening? It's only through me. Have we got enough? Open heaven, open eyes. This is what he said, John. This is what John heard the angel saying, like the trumpet. I'd love to hear that voice, would you? What does that sound like? A voice like a trumpet. And he says, John, come up here. There's an open door for you. And he goes up to the open door and he sees an open heaven. His eyes were open. God wants to open our eyes. I want to get the worship team to come back. He wants to open our eyes. He wants us to see him in his majesty. He wants us to see the more that is with us than is with against us. Elijah. When the army of Aram came against him, he was asleep. The prophet was asleep. And his servant goes out. And he's like, we're bunched. A whole army surrounded the city. He was putting a full stop. Man of God, we're doomed. That king who was after you, here's the way this prophet was operating. The plans that were going on in the other king's chambers, the Lord was allowing him to hear it. not only in the chambers with his generals, when he was even more secret in his bedroom, the prophet could hear what he was saying, and he was exposing all the plans to the king of Jerusalem. And the king of Aram said, kill him. All the army came together. They surrounded the city. The servant looks out, we're gone here. Full stop. We're never going to get out of this alive. Full stop. But God had a comment. And Elisha prayed, and he prays, Lord, open the eyes of my servants so that he could see that them that are with us are more than them that are against us. See, when we see we're all against us, we put a full stop. God says there's no full stops. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's no full stops. And he goes out 7 times. Because some of us need to get it a few times, don't we? No, sorry, he didn't go 7 times. That was another situation. That was the cloud. Should have preached that one. He goes out and the Lord opens his eyes. And there he sees angels on chariots. All warring angels, all angels all around him. He said, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see who's with us. Let him see the heavens on our side. Let him see that we're on the mission from God, that we're on a mandate from heaven. Lord, open his eyes. Let him see there's no full stops in this situation. And he's seen the comer. And he ended up, they all got slaughtered, by the way. Where have you put a full stop? Let's stand. Where have you put a full stop that God hasn't? In your career, where God would want you, what he would want you to do. Full stop. See that son of mine? Nothing's going to come good of there. Let's take that full stop off this morning and give them kids to God. Comma, I'm putting a comma over your life, son. I'm putting a comma over your life, daughter. There's more to come. You are made for more. Any full stops on marriages, let's erase them. You put a comma today. It's not the end. This woman is a good woman. This man's a good man. We're good together. God has something for us. He wants to show his glory through us. Some people giving up on finding a husband or finding a wife. Don't put a full stop. I'll never go back to school. Full stop. No. Comma. I'll never overcome this sin. Full stop. No. Comma. I'll never get on with that person, full stop, comma. Come on, let's let the blood of Jesus just wash it away. Just wash them away, Lord. Wash them away, Lord. Open our eyes, oh God. Open our eyes, oh God. There's more to come. This happened in my life, but God is now in my life. This happened, but there's more to come. This happened, but I believe I can go again. And there's more. And there's more. And when this age is over, comment, there's more. So you know what the Holy Spirit was just saying to you while I was preaching. It doesn't really matter what I was saying. It's what he was saying where you put a full stop. You need to be encouraged today. Listen, Jesus is not on the cross. He rose from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He was on this earth 33 years, and the last 2,000 years he spent praying. Shows how much value God puts on prayer for you and for me. He's seated at the right hand of God, interceding. 33 years on earth, 2,000 years of a prayer meeting. What a God. And his prayers get answered for you. The word, Jesus, goes out and accomplished and doesn't come back void or empty. So bring it before him. Guys, you can sing whatever song. This morning, fear was broken. Please walk in it. Please walk in it. When it knocks at your door, send out, be not afraid. I'm not afraid, he's with me. I'm not afraid. There's comments over my life. Let's just sing a song just as dedicating this to God. Just tell yourself there's more. And it doesn't matter how much you've got, there's more. There's more. There's more of him. There's more of his presence. There's more of the journey. There's more of his power. There's more of his strength. There's more of his grace. There's more of his love. There's more of his patience. He's inexhaustible. He's God's. He's God's. Do you know what eternity is? There's no commas. It goes on and on and on and on. He says about forgiveness. How many times will I forgive? To infinity. Goes on and on and on and on and on. Receive his forgiveness if you need it. Has Jesus stopped delivering people from sin? No. Receive your deliverance today. Man, stand up. Stand up, man. Stand up, woman. I was reading there, and it says in some of my Bibles, different translations, that I have them all on that iPad thing. And you read in it, and some of the Bibles say, the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts. I don't believe that's true. I believe it should read, the Acts of the Holy Spirit through his church. Because these things are written by people that have a theology that believe that apostles, when the apostles died, all that died. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Coming. And it's designed for people to read and go, well, the apostles done that, but there's none of that for me. There's no healing, there's no deliverance, there's no freedom. Because that was all there, and we're left with the Word of God on its own, which is powerful in itself. But he gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I want you will do the things that I've done, only for in greater capacity because there's more of us. And we're in danger of thinking the Holy Spirit was just for them, full stop. The gifts of tongues, just for them, full stop. Healing of people on the streets, just for them, full stop. 3,000 getting saved in one go, that was then, full stop. At the end of the chapter 28 of Acts, I was so curious to see what was at the end. And it says Paul was in Rome, and he hired a house, and he sat in the house, and people would come, and he would talk to him about the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ unhindered. Exclamation mark. Exclamation mark means a note of wonderment and awe and excitement. He didn't put a full stop. Why? Because this wonderment and this awe and this excitement goes on and on and on and on. And I pray today, Lord, that you would open our eyes like you did, Lord, John the Revelator, and we would be in awe, and we would experience the wonderment of Jesus Christ, our King, the lover of our soul, the one who came, the one who rose from the dead, the one who was amongst us today. Let's sing this song. Just ask him to open your eyes, and that just wonderment would be the order of the day. God is good, amen. Just release yourself to worship. Yes, Lord. Yes, oh God. Yes, Lord. As we stand in your presence, revelations of your love. As we look to the heavens, Holy Spirit, fall and like a flood, break upon our praise as I sing of your love. Holy Spirit, fire burn in my soul as we call upon your name. As I call upon your name. Call on your Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Father. Holy Spirit, burn like a fire.
Oh, reign over me, restore me.
Could you put your hand on someone's shoulder beside you? Don't get freaked. Don't, we just want to pray. And we truly believe, even though I've done singing and preached this morning, I don't want to contradict myself, but we're not a one-man show here. And we genuinely believe that all believers are priests, because the Bible says so. And I could have called everyone forward. I could have prayed. But God wants to use you just like he uses anyone else. And if he uses you in this safe environment, believe me, it will give you confidence to be used outside these walls. Now, there's rules, because we love people and we respect people. The Bible says, as far as I know, in 1 Corinthians, that New Testament ministry should be for building up and strengthening and edifying people. If you get anything from God and it doesn't edify and build up and strengthen, will you keep it? If you get anything to bless and to strengthen and encourage, you can release it. But right now, Lord, here we are, your people. And we, according to your scriptures, Lord, we believe in laying on of hands. And that, Lord, somehow it activates and releases what you have for us, Lord. Healing. Be healed in Jesus' name. I command sickness and pain and disease to leave your body in the name of Jesus. Father, heal. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that as we lay hands on each other's shoulder, Lord, that we would experience full stops being erased. The cross, do you know the cross is like a plus sign? There's more to your life. You plus God is amazing. God on his own is amazing. You plus God, you become like him. Amazing. Amazing to other people. Amazing story. Expression of amazing grace, amazing love, amazing power. And we lay hands on each other and we rub the Lord. We just say, yeah, every full stop, be gone. So allow the blood of Jesus to wash over that. There's a comma, there's a plus, there's more. And we just release that. More blessing, more peace, more joy, more hope, more power, more love. More of you, Lord. And we pray a blessing over each other, Lord. I pray the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you. The Lord's face shines upon you. The Lord grants you shalom. Shalom meaning this, the completeness and wholeness, the absence of strife, the absence of fear, the absence of chaos. Shalom. That the shalom of God will destroy chaos and disorder and bring things all into order. From your body, wholeness, your mind, prosperity in your life, peace, shalom in Jesus' name.